You mind you, if you are sitting down to your cup of coffee and an apple crumble, you might want to hold off for a few minutes, because for the next little while we are going to be talking about constipation. Now, it is not the most glamorous of topics, but definitely one we covered over the years on Operation Transformation, and we saw how it really affects people and their overall health. We don't like talking about it, that's for sure, but we are going to talk about it right now with gut health dietitian at the BlackRock Clinic, Lorraine Cooney, who has just written the book Why You Can't Go and What You Can Do to Find Life-Changing Relief from Constipation. Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I have to say, I read the book over the weekend. I love the cover as well. It's very, and the title is great. You know, it certainly catches the eye.
It says what we want to say.
It does. And come here, as the mother of a two-year-old, all we do in our house seems to be talking about poo. And isn't it funny when children don't have any inhibitions when it comes to something as normal as going to the toilet, yet it is a real taboo subject for us?
Yeah, I guess children may be not informed of the cultural norms that adults live in our society, and they don't get embarrassed or they don't think it's inappropriate. But as adults or even teenagers, we do.
Yeah.
Well, a good subset of our population do and find it hard to talk about it.
Like, it just seems when in the health space, there seems to have been an explosion in the research when it comes to gut health. It is a lot of what we're reading about now. It's the microbiome. I just think it's the health hot topic of the moment.
Oh, it is a hot topic, but it's not a trend. It's really legit, because over the last 10 years, there has been that explosion of research. And what's important is the discovery of the microbiome and its role in our health and disease. So it's absolutely huge because it's linked to most conditions and nearly every function in the body. So you think of what we're trying to avoid, heart disease, kidney disease, mental health issues, skin issues, your gut and the microbiome that resides in there is involved in protecting you from those.
It's so fascinating. So do you think a lot of us have taken our gut for granted, or do take our gut for granted?
I think if you don't suffer with symptoms, you might not heed it at all, or you might not know that it's important.
Yeah.
But if you are suffering, then you will know maybe that something is wrong, and you can't avoid hearing about gut health, the microbiome, probiotics, supplements in our world today.
So,
It is something to pay heed of, especially if you suffer with gut symptoms.
So why did you want to write the book? I mean, you've seen people in clinic, you've seen lots of people over the years, but why was it important for you to write this book?
Yes, so the most prevalent symptom I would see in my clinic is constipation, gas and bloating, and they are linked. And so people will come to my clinic and be doing everything right, or feel they're doing everything right, but be dissatisfied that it's not working. So I want to open up the floor and say there's a lot more that you can do with managing constipation. There's so many different solutions. Not everything works for everybody, and to be able to give them all the information that they need. Also, there's people who suffer in silence. And again, they're that subset of population that don't want to talk about their bowels, and I want to be able for them to be able to access all the information that they need in this book, and take a 360 view of all the things that you can do.
And I think that's a great point, because, well, we talk about health issues a lot more, say, even than we did 5 years ago. And there's a lot of celebrity advocacy in different health realms, like just even pulling Kourtney Kardashian. She's talked quite openly about her IBS. Are people more willing to talk? Have you noticed a difference of people coming into your clinic and being able to talk?
Yeah, I think there's more awareness.
Yeah.
And because it's more acceptable. I mean, if you meet somebody, I'm sure you have as well, you'll meet somebody with gut symptoms, or they can't have this or they can't have that. Nearly everybody has a little bit of IBS. So it is prevalent in our society. And actually, it would show that 40% of the population is suffering with a gut symptom at any one time. So I think people are finding it easier to talk about it, that with celebrity endorsement or with social media, chat rooms, Dr. Google. It's becoming a little bit more of an open topic.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what's not normal, I suppose, and how we define constipation, because you talked about bloating and maybe, you know, feeling that feeling of not being able to go to the toilet. But what is the actual definition of constipation?
There's certain criteria that your GP will use. So if you're suffering with symptoms, always chat to your GP. Do not be tempted to self-diagnose. But when it comes to constipation, it's likely that you're having two of the following. You are having less than three bowel motions per week. You may be straining. It will be hard and difficult to pass. And you may also feel that you don't completely finish having a bowel motion, that you're not emptying completely. And for some people, they may even need to use their hand to manually maneuver and evacuate what's stuck in their bowel. Yes, I've said that on live radio.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just the reality of it, because it can become so hard and compacted in the bowel that it's the only way to get it out. So that would be a severe form of constipation.
Okay.
But there are solutions to every form of constipation out there.
So let's talk about some of them. And as you said, it is individual and every body is different.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the remedies? What are the things that you treat?
The first thing I would say is don't run for the laxatives. Try some diet and lifestyle interventions.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have heard of increasing fibre and increasing fluid and increasing exercise to try and manage your constipation.
And prune juice.
Yep.
Is prune juice, is that?
That's not just an old wives' tale.
Okay.
It's actually been shown in clinical trials to be helpful. And because it has fibre in it, and it also has something called sorbitol, which is a part of the prune that has is able to have an osmotic effect on the body with drawing water into the bowel and softening the stool. So that is why it works.
Okay.
As do prunes.
Okay. So that's what the fibre does. So when we talk about increasing the fibre in our mm-hmm. diet, there's lots of different types of fibre.
Exactly. It can be very confusing.
Yeah. So try and break that down for us.
So when it comes to constipation, you're looking to soften the stool. So you want something called soluble fibre, and this will attract water in the bowel. That's the idea. So there's certain fruits in particular that are really helpful, such as kiwis and mangoes. And with the prunes and prune juice, certain vegetables and grains, nuts and seeds that can be helpful. And that idea of softening the stool will be achieved by those foods.
Okay.
You don't really want a lot of the insoluble, which doesn't have the same impact. It may create bulk, but it doesn't create softness.
Okay.
So understanding those complexities with fibre is really important.
And so when somebody comes into you in clinic, mm-hmm. you diagnose them as being constipated. How do you figure out what's going to work best for them? If they say, oh, I eat a lot of fibre and I eat my fruit and veg and I eat my brown bread and I eat my whole grains. Is it over a period of time that you monitor somebody?
Yep. Well, firstly, their GP is going to diagnose them, and I'm going to mm-hmm. create their profile to understand what they're presenting with on that day. And I will look at their diet and see the trends of what they're eating, particularly fibre content, and also other contributions to their diet like fat or protein, mm-hmm. Alcohol, hydration, caffeine, for example. So I'll look at the balance of fibre. I think that's one of the first things I would see. So if they're not having a lot of soluble fibre, the first line approach would be to try and increase those types of foods.
Okay.
And also look at other parts of their diet, because coffee can be helpful, staying hydrated can be helpful.
Yeah, let's talk about coffee for a second, because mm-hmm. that's something that you do hear and something that we know, that when you have a coffee.
Some good news, you can have coffee if you like coffee, but it can help
it
with your bowels.
It tends to get things moving.
Yeah, it can have a stimulatory effect on the bowel, and it seems to be working on the messaging system between your gut and your lower bowel. And we're not really sure what the exact mechanism is, but within 4 minutes and up to 30 minutes, about 40% of people will find that coffee can help them have a bowel motion.
Oh, so I just always assumed that was the caffeine, the actual...
Well, we're not really sure. It can be maybe partly caffeine. It may be part of the coffee grain called a polyphenol, which is a plant chemical.
Okay.
So something within that is communicating with the gut signals that transfer the signals down to your bowel that you want it to get moving.
Okay. And just going back to what you said there, it sort of floored me. So, because I would have presumed that if you were not going to the toilet every day, that you would be classified as being constipated. But you're saying it's less than 3 times a week. So you don't need mm-hmm. to be going every day.
It doesn't have to be every day.
Right.
But it's not just about frequency. It's about how it looks. So it should be soft and formed and easy to complete. And you should feel that it's all gone once you finish doing your business.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We would have looked at the Bristol stool chart for many, many years on Operation Transformation. And it's kind of that. I know you refer to it in the book. And it is one to go on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, because you don't have to find words for your poo. You can just look at these images and point to the one that aligns with you. And that helps really create the story of what might be happening with your gut.
Okay. What is IBS? You mentioned it at the top of the chat. What is it? How does it differ from constipation? How do we know that we're suffering from it?
So there's 4 types of IBS. One is constipation predominant. So that's aligned with the constipation story. There's one that's diarrhea predominant, and there's one that's mixed type. And there's some unspecified types of forms, but the main ones are either constipation, diarrhea, or mixed.
Okay.
So the difference between, say, IBS constipation and just constipation is that people with IBS will also have abdominal pain. alongside all the other symptoms that they can be having. So those less frequent bowel motions, hard to pass difficult stools, bloating, gas, whatever else may come along with it, there can be a whole raft of symptoms that people can suffer with.
And it is so debilitating. I mean, people talk about the pain and like not being able to live a fully normal life when it gets as bad as that.
Yeah. And people have to know that it's actually something going wrong with communication between your gut and your brain. Mm. So sometimes people would find that if they're anxious or stressed, the symptoms can be worse. But don't blame the anxiety and stress per se. It's something that's in your body that's happening. It's how the brain communicates with the gut and the signalling is overinterpreted. And therefore you get these symptoms.
Okay. Talk to me about the gut-brain axis. That's another thing we're reading about a lot. It's fascinating. Can you try and explain it in simple terms?
Yeah. So when it's not working right, you might get IBS or constipation.
Yes.
But we'll all know the feeling of having butterflies in your stomach or maybe having to use the toilet if you've got an interview or even salivating at the sight or smell of foods. That's your gut communicating with your brain. Mm-hmm. And it's really important because it involves your microbes, your immune system, hormones, etc. It's a very, very complex. It's a new science. It's not fully understood, but we know that it's important in our health and well-being. Mm. In our gut symptom control, in our mental health control, we're learning more and more about it all the time.
Well, I was reading over the weekend, it was we've all heard of serotonin, which is that feel-good hormone associated with our mental health. And I didn't know 95% of serotonin is produced in the gut. And again, it's a reminder to us all the factor of stress and how stress plays such an important role in our gut health.
Yep.
And managing it.
Yeah, so stress impacts your microbes and your microbes impact serotonin. So they're all intertwined. The serotonin in your gut impacts motility and it also communicates with your brain. But you also have serotonin that's produced in your brain. That is the happy hormone. Mm. With IBS, it's really important to know that people will restrict their diet in the quest for gut symptom relief. But that's the physical side of it. You also try and see that it's important to target your gut-brain axis. So I find that people who target both of them will get relief of symptoms.
Okay.
And get better transit in the gut, get better relief of symptoms, get better tolerance of foods.
Okay, okay. Text coming in here. I felt terrible after doing number twos my entire life. It's like an intense, unpleasant butterflies in my tummy. Eating afterwards helps a little.
Mm-hmm.
Says one listener. Any?
Well, it sounds like I can't diagnose that.
Yes.
But if they're having difficulty, I would just like to say that there's so many things that you can do. Yeah, go to your GP, nail down your diagnosis, get to understand what's actually happening in your gut, you know, your diet, your lifestyle, the symptoms that you're having. And because it's so different for everybody. And then know that there's a whole load of different things that you can do to try and manage your symptoms, from diet to lifestyle to supplements to stress management, for example.
And just that's the type of person that you're talking about, really, of what that we were referring to. The worst thing to do is do nothing, because, you know, like leaving it hidden and because we're too embarrassed to talk about it, and living then with pain or living with some sort of physical discomfort. It's not fair. Like, nobody should be having to go through that.
I know. It can be very hard to say, I'm going to go to my doctor now and talk about my poo and talk about the smells and talk about what I'm experiencing. But actually, that's probably the best thing that you can do, because if you suffer in silence, things can go undiagnosed. Things can be worse. You might as well nip it in the bud. Your comfort is really, really important. Don't normalise the abnormal. But it can be hard. I understand that. So hopefully that with the book, I'd like to break down some of that taboo and help people know that, you know, we all do this. It's a normal part of living. And it's universal. It's a topic that should bring us all together.
Absolutely.
Well, and unite us.
Una has another question. My Leaving Cert daughter had no bowel movement for 10 days. Oh, my God. Love her. She always had a lazy bowel. This girl likes fruit, veg, brown bread, brown rice. Very little red meat. She drinks lots of water. Lately getting broken sleep to go to the toilet. She's also having severe migraines. Could this be stress related? Any advice?
I would say that sounds like it's stress related.
Yes.
And know that there's things that you can do. So it's not all about diet. Her diet sounds lovely. The sleep will impact gut symptoms. It will impact your microbes. It's another two-way communication system. But to target your gut-brain axis is really, really important. And I see this in my clinic. So things like just simple diaphragmatic breathing, which is a deep breathing exercise. I use a therapy called gut-directed hypnotherapy. And this is more getting into the gut-brain axis and helping reduce that sensitivity. And it helps change pain responses in the brain. And I think when you combine that with diet, people tend to get the best outcomes in terms of symptom management long-term.
Okay, and just very quickly, if there's somebody out there who's trying to lose weight and they're lowering their calorie intake, can that add to the problem of constipation?
Yeah, particularly what you're restricting. So I would look at restrictive diets. To me, a lot of the time they reduce carbs. This is where you get your fibre. Fibre is what feeds your gut microbes. If we don't have enough fibre in our diet, we're not going to feed the microbes so they can create and go about their business as well as they should. Mm-hmm. And 80% of us do not eat enough fibre. So you're looking at having foods from each of these groups: whole grains, fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds and pulses. Mm-hmm. And just have a bucket loads of bread or big plates of pasta. It's whole grains. It's a variety of fruit and veg, nuts and seeds, etc. Mm. And because that is the key to feeding your gut microbes. Your microbes then produce chemicals that help us regulate our hormones, our appetite, our metabolism. So it's all intertwined.
It's fascinating. And it mm-hmm. is about the diversity, like having as much of it as you can, uh-huh. like not quantity, but like opening your gut
absolutely.
To lots of different fibres.
Because diversity in diet has been linked to better gut health. So yeah. that would be the base of your diet are plants. And not just the same plants every week, and that's coming more and more from the evidence as well. Mm. And that can protect your gut microbes, and it's also helpful for managing gut symptoms, would you believe it? It's not all about restriction. Mm. And it also seems to be really important for mental health.
So it kind of goes back to, because we talk about it all the time, you know, and over the years, as I said, on Operation Transformation, the Mediterranean diet, mm-hmm. it's sort of boring now. It's like, you know, eat your fruit and veg, eat your pulses, get your fibre, get your carbs, get your protein in.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Boring is always best.
So yes.
Boring standard messages always work. So regular meals that are balanced, that have lots of plant-based foods, will take you a long way in helping control your health and symptoms.
Lorraine Cooney, it has been a pleasure to chat to you. The book again is called Why You Can't Go and What You Can Do to Find Life-Changing Relief from Constipation. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.